Well, we have the opportunity to have Brother Philip Jones and his dear family. We enjoyed that. Y'all sing very nicely. Appreciate that. Nice piano player too. All right. Appreciate that. And did you lead the music at the church where you came from? I thought you probably did. Amen. He's pastored actually for about 8 years down in Coventry, Georgia. Is that right? Coventry? Covington. There we go. Covington. You can't read my own handwriting. It's right there. Covington, Georgia. And it's one of those places you get down south. You know, we got a Baptist church in the north part and the far side, and you know, we've got them kind of spread around the county. Down there, we would say, what'd you say, 1,500 people in your town? 15,000. Okay. And oodles of Baptist churches, one in every corner. And the Lord has blessed, but they feel called to head to Pasadena, California. And a large area there, very few churches that you would call an independent Baptist church, I'm sure. And so going out there to start a work, you know, listen, I understand missions work, and we need to send missions. But the fact is, there are people all over the world who are sending missionaries to America.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with missions, and if that's what God's called you to do, go ahead and do it. But the fact is, missions may be that you're simply going to go to another state. You're going to go to another town. You're going to go, but listen, our country is not the country it once was. And so I appreciate folks who are trying to go out there and start a church and get things rolling. So Brother Jones is going to come, and you give us what's on your heart, and you share a little bit about the ministry. He's going to preach to us. Amen.
Bless you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to be here and to have this opportunity. It's it's an honor to serve the Lord. It's a blessing to be in the business of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are honored that He has allowed us to serve Him these years. And now he's changed our course just a little bit. I'm not going to be ministering in the South anymore, but we're going to California. And of all the places in the world that I could have gone, I would have never guessed that God would send this Georgia boy all the way to the left coast there to California. But that's what He's called us to do. And we're excited to get out there and see what God is going to do as He does His will in us and through us. As Pastor said, I pastored in Georgia for a little over 8 years, and when I resigned, our church merged with another local church there, and we sold our house, we moved into a motor home, and we've been traveling the country, and we praise the Lord for how He's already blessed. Just since the middle of April, when we started deputation, the Lord's blessed us with almost 57% of our needed support, and we're looking forward to moving to Pasadena in April of this coming year, this April, and so just a few months away, we're excited about that, and praise God for how He has done His work. You know, that's what we asked Him to do. We said, Lord, as we yield ourselves to You, we'd like to ask You to do what only You can do. We'd like to ask You to do something so it can only be said God did it. And I believe He's answering that prayer. And it's a privilege to serve the Lord. We're going to show our video, and then we'll be preaching out of the book of Mark. Has led our family to Pasadena, California to plant a church. And He's made that abundantly clear in our hearts.
I believe that many people are afraid of the LA Metro. Many times we expect our missionaries to travel over a foreign country and adapt to that culture. But yet we as Americans are guilty of not adapting to the inner city ministries that lie within our own borders of America. LA Metro is not your white suburb community. It's very diverse. Culture shock for me when I first got out here. You are going to have a congregation where if you're a white man, you're probably going to be the minority as the pastor in that congregation. Our congregation has 26 plus nationalities. It's not a city where you can just come into and buy a house. You may pastor in the LA Metro your entire life and never buy a house. And I believe that is why so little churches have been started in this growing city, growing metro. a city that influences the world. Trends are set out here in Southern California. It's going to be a unique ministry, but if God's called you, I believe obviously the need is there.
On my first survey trip, I knew nothing about California. I looked at maps and studied a little bit online of what I could learn there, but looking at a paper or looking at a screen is not the same as real life. So I looked at my map and I saw that Pasadena was fairly close to where I was staying. And I took the rest of that day and I went to Pasadena and just walked through the city and several of the streets and interacted with some of the people there and I thought about the fact that this was a city of nearly 150,000 people and almost no gospel witness. So I was at a youth meeting and Evangelist Brian Sams was preaching. He told how there were a large number of cities in California, actually all of them, several of the states out in the West that have over 100,000 people, but not very many gospel preaching churches. In fact, several of them do not have one. Of course, my heart was burdened for those cities, and I began to pray that the Lord would send someone to plant a church there. And I prayed specifically for the Lord to send some of the teenagers from the youth meeting to plant a church there. But it was as if the Lord said, why wait for them to go through, finish high school, go through college? And I said, Lord, well, who could you send in, more near future? And it was as if the Lord said, why not you? And so I told him I would, of course, do whatever he wanted me to do. And I prayed with my wife about it, and the Lord gave us peace that this is what he wants for us, for our family. Of course, I was burdened for Pasadena, but I didn't want to just accept the first city as being it, And so the next day I visited with Pastor Nick Reed of Victory Baptist Church in Burbank, and he named several cities that have a great need, and Pasadena being one, and Thousand Oaks, and Santa Clarita, Santa Monica, Santa Barbara, and Fullerton, Huntington Beach, and several of these cities. And so I spent the next few days driving from city to city and seeing with my eyes the need for a church.
He and his wife, two of the best people, persons that I know, they're not passive in their membership. They're very active in their membership, with the membership of the church. And that love shows, and the people know that. And I just know that whatever he does and wherever he goes, it'll be the same way. And they've reached a lot of people here, won a lot of people to the Lord. A lot of people have come that have gotten saved and then grown in the Lord. So I've seen the Lord use them in a great way in the lives of the people of this church. And I know it'll be the same way when he gets to Pasadena.
I was mostly drawn to Santa Clarita and Pasadena. So on my way back from Santa Barbara and Thousand Oaks, I stopped in Santa Clarita and drove through the city once again and prayed and asked the Lord, is this the city you want me to plant a church in? And, but it was... But I had no peace that's where the Lord wanted me. And I couldn't get any peace about those cities. And so I drove the next day, I drove to Pasadena. And there, as I drove through the city again, God confirmed in my heart that that's where he wanted me to be. when I arrived home from the survey trip, my wife and I sat down and talked, and she asked me, she said, "So where are we going?" And I told her, I said, "Well, the Lord has laid Pasadena on my heart and has made it clear to me that that's where we should go." And she said, "That's what I thought." She said, "After talking to you the past few days," she said, I knew that's where we were going." And we knelt down and prayed and thanked the Lord for giving us both that peace and giving us that clarity of vision. It was my heart's desire to be able to view as much of the city as I could from one vantage point. And I actually had that opportunity today. And as I looked out over the city and the connecting cities, my heart broke. And verses of scripture came to my mind. "Mine eye affecteth my heart, and multitudes in the valley of decision." And it was, I could relate to the scripture where it says Jesus saw the multitudes and had compassion on them, for they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And thinking of this city and the greater metro LA area having a population of over 13 million people and just a handful of gospel preaching, soul winning churches, just very burdened for the area and grateful that God would choose us.
I know people are in need of the gospel anywhere you go, whether it's here in Georgia or in California, but I guess what really excites me about Pasadena is here there are so many people that have a knowledge of the truth. Even if they don't have a clear understanding of the gospel, there's a lot of knowledge they have just by growing up in the Bible Belt. But I'm excited to go to an area when you knock on their door, when you meet somebody and say, "If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven?" It's going to be, from my experience in Oregon, it's going to be a much more straightforward answer, like, "I have no clue," or maybe because I'm a good person. I'm just excited to be able to share with them the gospel and that there's hope in Jesus Christ.
God is stirring up our nest. He's uprooting us from Covington, Georgia, and moving us to Pasadena, California. And I could have never imagined God doing all of this through us. I guess this is just proof positive that God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise, and He knows what He's doing. And I'm excited to see the big picture one day. But until then, I'm looking forward to each puzzle piece that God places in my hand and tells me just exactly where to place it. I'm looking forward to how He's going to use us and what He's going to do as He completes His picture of us. Amen. Mark chapter 16, if you will. Turn with me there to Mark chapter 16. Grateful that God has a plan for our lives. Amen. He didn't just put us here on this earth and say, "Let's see how that works out." He planned it out. He has a purpose for our lives, and I'm glad that He has the power to work it all out for our good and for His glory. I'm grateful that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And as you have here, with God, all things are possible. So I'm grateful that the Word of God gives us those promises and those assurances so we can just trust Him. Amen. My pastor said, God didn't tell you to go build His church. And He didn't say that He would build your church. Jesus said, "I will build my church." That just gives us the responsibility to be obedient and go and tell them about Him. Amen. Just share the gospel and let Him do His work. And I'm grateful that He uses us to do it. It helps me to realize that I'm just a tool.
Amen. Sometimes people use that term as kind of a, you know, trying to offend somebody and say you're, you know, a tool. But that's all we are. I mean, have you ever thought about that? What hammer built this building? You don't know what hammer built it, but you know about how it came about and who did the building and things like that, perhaps. But you don't know about the tools necessarily, because the tools are not important. And when it comes to building the church, the tool, us, we're not what's important. It's the one that's doing the building. Amen. And He is all important, and we just want to lift Him up and glorify Him and give Him the honor that He deserves. The Bible says in Revelation, He says, "For Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." He says, "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." We're put here for God and His pleasure, amen? And we ought to desire to bring glory and honor to Him. And I believe that here in our text, we're going to find that Jesus told us how we can glorify Him, how we can please Him with our lives. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, we're going to read just one verse, verse 15. The Bible says, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You and praise You for Your word. I want to ask You, Lord, to help me as I deliver what You've laid on my heart. I pray that it would be an encouragement and it would edify Your people. But most of all, Lord, I ask You to help me to glorify You. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, and may we say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank You, Lord, for this church and for this pastor and the testimony that they've had in this community and even around the world. And I pray that You'd help it to continue until Jesus comes. And we'll praise You and thank You for all that You do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus is about to ascend back to heaven. He's already died on the cross and has risen from the grave, and he's been with His disciples for a while, and He's about to ascend back to heaven, and He gives them some last instructions before departing and before going back to His Father, and he tells them what's the most important message that He could leave them. He gives them what is nearest and dearest to His heart, some instructions for them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So often we have an idea that the gospel and preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel is the responsibility of pastors and preachers and Bible college students and missionaries and evangelists and Sunday school teachers. But being a witness for Jesus Christ is your job if you're saved. Amen. It's our responsibility. When Jesus said, "Go ye," He's speaking to the church, but He's speaking to individuals that made up the church. The church is an assembly of called out ones. It's an assembly of believers that have been called out of the world and separated unto Jesus Christ. And He said, "Go ye." My pastor said, if you're in the habit of writing and making notes in your Bible, you might want to circle the word "ye" and write out to the side, that "ye" means me. Go ye. That means me. I am to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. This thing of sharing the gospel is so important to God that He gave it as His last command. Sharing the gospel was commanded by our Savior. It was commanded by our Savior. He shows us that it's important to Christ, getting the gospel into all the world. He wants everybody to hear it. The Bible tells us in Peter that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sometimes we independent Baptists get a bad rap from some of our fellow independent Baptists because we're going after everybody. They say, "Oh, you're just about numbers and all this." Absolutely. You know how many God wants saved? He wants all of them saved. You know how many He wants to go to hell? He doesn't want any to go to hell. He wants zero to go to hell. And so He's commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's important. It's important to Christ that we take this message. In fact, the only prayer request, we have Bible studies and prayer meetings and in our churches, and we'll bring our prayer requests and they'll be read, and we'll share one with another, and we share what is near and dear to our heart. The only request that Jesus gave while he was on this earth is, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. He said, would you pray that God would send somebody out there into the harvest? He said, the fields are white already unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. We live in a day and time when, as Pastor said, there was a day when America was the one sending missionaries around the world. We were the world leader in sending missionaries. But you know, I heard a statistic recently that said we are 15th in the world per capita in sending missionaries. 15th. And we have missionaries being sent here from other countries to bring the gospel to America. A nation that was founded upon the principles of God's Word. And we now have gotten so far away from God and the teachings of God's Word that God is having to call people to come to America to preach the gospel, to plant churches. And oh, it's important for us to be starting churches. And we need to start churches the right way. Not get offended because they didn't ask your opinion on the decorations and go on down the road and start your own. That's not the right way to start a church. The right way is to be sent out from your local church to an area and knock on doors and share the gospel and see people saved, and that assembly becomes a local church of baptized believers. And you train them, you teach them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us, the Bible says. He says, go ye. It is commanded by our Savior. And we have a mandate from our Lord because it is important to Christ that we share the gospel. And because it's important to our God, because it's important to our Lord, and just think about that. He's our Lord. The word Lord means master. He's the one that gives the commands. He's the one that has the position and he has the power. In fact, in Matthew he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that's not just the power to keep the sun burning bright and the world spinning and going around and keep your heart beating. But that power, with that power also comes an authority. Because he is God and he has the right and he has the authority to tell us what he wants us to do. And he has that authority because he bought us. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God. It didn't say, wherefore if you'd like to, or wherefore if it's convenient for you, then glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He has the authority and he says, go. Go ye. Oh, but I can't get out like I used to. You have a telephone? Can you write notes or stuff envelopes with gospel tracts or something? There's something that we can do. God has left us here for a reason. He said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It is commanded. It is commanded by our Savior. We have a mandate from God. It's important to Christ that we share the gospel. Secondly, that command is committed to the saints. It is committed to the saints. You and I have a responsibility, not only because he told us, but we have a responsibility. Paul said, I'm a debtor. See, I've received grace. And it's grace because I didn't deserve it. If I deserved it, it would not be grace. But I didn't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. I couldn't buy it. He gave it to me freely. when I was a stranger from God, when I was alienated, whenever I was an enemy of God, He offered grace. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Amen. Aren't you grateful for the day grace appeared to you? Amen. Aren't you grateful for the day that grace came your way? Amen. And God offered salvation to you, offered that free gift of eternal life to you. He said, to preach repentance toward God and faith for our Lord Jesus Christ. It's repentance toward God because it's Him that we offended. It's His law that we broke. And we must turn from our sin, from we must have a change of mind and a change of heart that results in a change of our life. And we turn to God and we confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. It's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not works, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy. It's His mercy that He saved us. It's by His mercy and by His love that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we should be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. It's because of His love and His mercy that in grace He reached down to where we were and pulled us up out of that horrible pit. He broke the chains of sin. He washed us in His blood and set us free. Amen. He birthed us into the family of God. And now the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Amen. I'm grateful for September 28th, 1987, when I, as a 13-year-old boy, sat on the side of my bed, my mom sitting next to me, and she read Romans 10:13 to me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I bowed my head and I prayed, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but that day I put my faith in Jesus Christ and He saved me. Amen. Amen. And I owe it to Him, and I owe it to them to go and share the gospel with them, with those who have never heard. Oh, we live in the Bible Belt. We've had the Bible preached all our lives. We've heard it, but there are many that don't know it. Just a few years ago, we were out soul winning there in Georgia, and my wife handed a tract to a lady and began to witness to her and her mother, and right there in just outside of Atlanta. And she said, "Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior?" And the lady said, "Well, I'll tell you." She said, "I've heard of Jesus, but I know nothing about Him." And she was not from a foreign country. She was born and raised right there in Jonesboro, Georgia. Had never heard who Jesus is. The Bible Belt. We take it for granted. It's a shame how many have never heard. Paul said, "Some have not the knowledge of the truth. I speak this to your shame." I say, oh me. How many times have we had the opportunity to be a witness and we didn't? The Bible says, "Be ready always, give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." And so often we take that as our cue to wait until they come and ask us. But Jesus didn't say sit around and wait until they ask you. See, if you're living like a Christian, you will have some that'll come and ask you what's going on with you. But if you're living like a Christian, you'll also be going and telling others what Jesus can do for them. Because God wants you to tell them what He's done for you. Jesus said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." A witness is one that just tells what they know. I know what happened to me. I know what Jesus did for me. The details of your conversion may differ from mine, because you probably were not there in Noonan, Georgia, at 13 years of age, and your mom sitting on the bed next to you. Probably didn't happen exactly that way. The details might have changed, but you got saved the same way. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you were saved. That command to go into all the world, it was committed to the saints. We have a message. We have a message of love. We just sang. I love to tell the story. It's been said that Baptists, we don't tell lies, we just sing them. I love to tell the story. Amen. Oh, and we'll sing it loud and we'll sing it proud and then we'll go out and... Oh, I don't want to bother them. Oh, but I thought you loved to tell the story. Yeah, but it might inconvenience them if I step over by them at the gas pump and try to give them a tract. Oh, but I love to tell the story. Don't you love Jesus? Absolutely, I love Jesus. Let's go tell somebody about it. Oh, well, you know, they might get offended. They might think I'm looking down on them or that I'm judging them. I'd rather somebody think that I'm judging them than them for them to stand before the judge and hear, depart from me. Amen? Amen? That responsibility to share the gospel was committed to the saints. We have a message, and it is a message of love. So often we've communicated everything except love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We must not forget judgment and there's a penalty for sin and all that. But those are the reasons that God sent His Son out of His love so that we would not have to face eternal separation from Him in the lake of fire. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have a mandate from our Lord. We have a message of love. So it should be important to us Christians. It should be important. It should be a priority. It should be preeminent to us to take that message to a world. It is why He left us here. Otherwise, the moment we get saved, he could just take us there to be with Him. But He left us here to do a job. And that job is to share the gospel with everyone we possibly can. It's commanded by our Savior. We have a mandate from our Lord. It's important to Christ. And that command was committed to saints. We have a message of love. It should be important to us Christians. Jesus didn't say it's going to be easy. He didn't say it's going to be comfortable. In fact, He said, if any man will come after me. We love to be called Christians. We love to be called disciples of Christ. But Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. See, we don't like to deny ourselves. We get up in the morning and whether it's because we need it to wake up or we just like it, we drink a cup of coffee. And we do we get ready and we dress what pleases us, how we're comfortable or how we want to or what's commanded to us by our job or whatever, and we go our way and we seek all through the day, we're seeking things to make our way easier all the time. But Jesus said, let a man deny himself. Give up some things. Take up his cross. We love Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But crucifixion involves some suffering. It involves sacrifice. It involves death. And this crucifixion that he's talking about there in Galatians 2:20, it's death to sin, death to self. Jesus said, let a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And church, we've got to do that. Pasadena is a city of 150,000, but it's part of the greater LA metro area there. LA County, if it was separated out into its own state, it'd be the fifth largest state population-wise in our nation. Over 18 million people in that county. I might not be able to reach them all, but I'll never reach any if I don't go. Pastor said you have 437,000 in this county. And yes, I know there are other churches around. But there's plenty of fit folks out there that need to be saved. You know, you're not going to witness to the wrong person. Oh, what if I go and talk to them and they're already saved? Then maybe that'll encourage them to go and be a witness. But you don't know who's saved and who's not. So you just might go witness to somebody that's lost. And when you share the gospel with them, they just might give you the opportunity to tell them that old, old story that we love to share. And they just might listen. And they just might receive Jesus Christ. But they won't if you don't go. See, it should be important to us Christians, but it's crucial for the sinner. We should be motivated by the lost, because whether they realize it or not, it is important for them that we share the gospel. Because what is their option? If they don't receive Jesus as their Savior, they're going to a place that the Bible calls hell. The rich man opened his eyes in hell and was in torment. And the Bible tells us that they will be there until death and hell give up the dead that are in them. And they stand before God on that judgment, the great white throne judgment, only to hear, as the books are opened, they're not here. And Jesus says, "Depart from me." Oh, but Lord, I've labored for you. I've prophesied in your name. I've done many wonderful works. I went to church. I was a Sunday school teacher. I did this, I did that. Depart from me. I never knew you. There's going to be a lot of religious folks that go to hell. And on that day of judgment, we'll be cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be a lot of folks who have rejected God for one reason or another, and they're going to go to hell. And then on that judgment day, they'll be cast into the lake of fire for eternity, completely engulfed in flames, not to be extinguished, not to be annihilated, but to suffer. To suffer the penalty for their sins. When we've got a message of love to share with them that Jesus paid it all, they don't have to go there. It's critical. It's crucial. It should be important to us because it's important for them. Scripture says, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat." It says, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." I know in comparison there's going to be a whole lot more going to hell than there are to heaven. I know Jesus said, "Few there will be that find it," but we ought to make it our goal to see how many that few can be. Because it's your responsibility to shine the beacon, to wave that beacon, to wave the warning to them, say, "Hey, you don't have to go this way. You can trust Jesus. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There's salvation. There's mercy. There's grace. There's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There is peace that passes all understanding in Jesus Christ." Yesterday we were in Washington, D.C., and we took a bit of time out of our day to go through the Holocaust Museum. If you've never done that, I would encourage you to do that. But out of all the things we saw there, every bit of it was gripping and very sobering. But I read a statement. As we went through, we saw how that the Jews had been, and those that those few that would support the Jews and help them and hide them from the Nazis, that tyranny and all. We saw how they were being persecuted and how they were arrested and put into concentration camps, and many of them just killed in mass murders. And nations around the world, sadly even our own, initially turned a blind eye. But I read a statement that said, when ordinary people got involved, the Jews had hope. It didn't say when these great nations got involved. It didn't say when world leaders got involved. It said when ordinary people got involved, the Jews had hope. And church is wonderful when pastors are soul winners. It is great when leaders in our churches are soul winners. But if those who are on their way to hell, that are suffering under the dictatorship and the tyranny of sin, awaiting their final destruction and eternity separated from God, if they are going to have hope, it's when ordinary people, just regular, normal, ordinary church members, saved by the grace of God, say, it's my responsibility. When we decide, we're going to take some gospel tracts and we're going to go, and I'll be a witness and I'll share the gospel with them. But if we choose not to get involved, we're turning a blind eye. I believe it was Curtis Hudson that said the only alternative to being a soul winner is disobedience.
Amen.
I want to stand before God one day and hear Him say, as the couple sang a while ago, well done. I want to hear Him say, well done. If I'm going to hear that, I need to go. I need to preach the gospel. I need to share Jesus Christ with all that I possibly can. Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You and praise You for the privilege that we have of calling on You. Thank You that we can call You our Lord. Jesus, thank You that we can come boldly into Your throne of grace. Thank You that You suffered and bled and died for our salvation. Thank You that somebody cared enough to bring the gospel to us. Help us to accept our responsibility to go and share the gospel with every creature. For all that You do, we'll praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.